As we watch world events unfold and fulfill Scripture, it's hard to believe anyone could doubt God and His Word are real. And yet there are so many who either question or completely refuse to believe it. The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that hits the doubt head-on with evidence that proves God is real and His Word is the ultimate authority. Watch it anytime and invite others to watch with you. Just visit stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this here program. Today's Issues on this Monday, October the 27th, 2025. Again, thanks for listening. Joining me in studio today is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
That's all, folks. Just three of us. That's it. There's no fourth voice today. Chris Woodward's off on Mondays.
That's right, yeah.
And Steve Paisley-Jordahl will be with us, at 11, an hour from now. All right, gentlemen, did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was short, as all weekends seem to be at this stage of my life. But it was a good weekend. We got some rain, which will probably mean my grass will start to grow again. Have to cut it. And it just makes me...
Life's hard, isn't it,
Dad? Just makes me upset.
Well, doesn't take much.
I'm glad when it dies in the summer.
I'm going to tell you it's not going to grow. It's over because it's only going to be in the 60s and 50s at night. You're okay.
Okay, good.
You can wait. It can be shaggy. Whew. It can be shaggy till next spring if you want to do it that way. Shaggy. My wife, Allison, she takes care of our lawn, bless her heart.
Yeah.
And God bless her.
Yeah.
Because... I got back. Little back thing caused me not to be able to do
that. That's why you play golf.
Football injury?
Well, yeah. Golf makes it better.
Yeah, it stretches it out.
It stretches it out, sure. Makes it better. But she likes to, I can't take any credit. I'm just going to be honest. So she has an immaculate yard. So she'll cut it one last time.
Yeah.
After the frost and everything to make it smooth until the spring.
Make it look good. Yeah.
Make it look good. So, anyway, we got a lot to talk about.
Did you introduce today. Fred?
I did.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Fred.
I wasn't paying attention.
How old?
It's all about me.
Fred, our Canadian-American, who's over here. Toronto Blue Jays and the Los Angeles Dodgers are tied, right?
They are. So optimistic after the first game. It was 11-4 or something like that.
Yeah.
Then
they go to they go back to is Los Angeles tonight or tomorrow?
I believe it's tonight.
I think it's tonight, yeah. Yeah. The World Series is on for those
yes.
who don't want
yes.
it. I was telling Fred this morning that I watched the kind of extended replay of the first game, which was Friday night, I think, and in Toronto. And the Blue Jays had a huge sixth inning. I don't know whether they scored 9 runs or something. It was something crazy. But anyway, one of the players hit a grand slam in the middle of that inning. And on the replay, sometimes they'll switch announcers, to get home field opposite team. And they had, the first time I've ever heard, a play-by-play for baseball in French. Because there were, so they were calling the grand slam in French. And it was pretty funny.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they cheered in French too.
Did they?
Yeah, they say "la cheer." La cheer.
La cheer. And we're on Le Show.
See, that's right.
I did, by the way, I know our listeners just are hanging on every word here.
This is rich.
But my daughter one time came home. No, it was my son. And I was just messing around with him, and I told him, I said, "You want me to teach you how to speak French?" And he said, "Yeah." And so I told him, I said, to speak French, all you have to do is put le in front of everything. Le chair, le table, le fork. And he and I was just messing around with him. The next day he went to school and told his teacher in front of the class that he could speak French. And she said, "Really? Well, go ahead." And that's what he did. And she laughed. She said, "I don't know where you got that from. That's not French."
My French was, I think, a semester, maybe two, in high school. You know, and I was real attentive during those formative years. And I just remember my name. I do remember that Timotei.
Timotei.
That's Timothy.
That sounds like Spanish.
Timothy, it may have been. Spanish, I wouldn't know the difference.
French. All right, can I just say one more quick story? One more.
You lay it on us, JJ. One more quick story.
Oh man, that kind of hurts. That
going
hurts.
Full JJ on us. I got one more quick story.
So in high school, I went to an all boys Catholic high school.
Yeah,
and you have to take a foreign language. I had 2 years of Spanish, and then day one, my junior year, we're all walking into Spanish class, and across the hall is the new French teacher. And she was a babe. I mean, all these high school boys and all boys Catholic high school,
right,
all standing outside,
right,
looking at this
to take
beautiful
French
right out of college. And I did. I went home that
signed
day and I told
French.
My dad, I said, "I'm thinking of taking French." And, of course, he just looked at me. I don't think he slapped me in the back of my head, but he said, "Why?
Why all this sudden interest in French,
yes,
son?"
Well, of course, the answer was a big no.
All right. Lot going on in the world. By the way, have you guys seen this hurricane model down in the Caribbean?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there is a massive Category 5 hurricane. Now,
is it Melissa?
Melissa.
Yeah. Melissa, it's not going to come to the United States, models show it going out to sea.
Mm-hmm.
But it is going to just ravage Jamaica today.
Yeah.
And those, I was listening to a news account. You think, well, these people in the Caribbean deal with hurricanes all the time.
Mm.
Not necessarily. The last major hurricane to hit Jamaica, they said, was in the 90s. Mm. So,
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, me too. I was surprised by that. So most of the time, the hurricanes go from the west coast of Africa, they form there, and then they go into the Caribbean, but they go north of Jamaica. They go up to the other islands there. And Florida, you know, Florida has a lot of experience with hurricanes. But what I'm saying is I don't know how to pray for weather.
I hear you.
I don't know how you do that, because God puts nature into existence. And he doesn't stop it normally from happening. Does that make sense? Do y'all know what I'm talking about here?
And, I don't want to. And you either pray that God will break the storm apart, or send it somewhere else if it's heading towards you. And then if he sends it somewhere else, it's going to hit somebody else.
Yeah, you don't want this kind of weather to hit anybody.
Right.
Okay. But we can pray. The Bible does say pray for people.
Yeah.
Right?
Pray for safety
and preservation. So we can pray for the people of Jamaica in particular. That's why I bring this subject up. We can pray for them because they're about to go through a horrendous storm. They're talking 30 inches of rain in some places.
Yeah.
And
14-foot surges.
Jamaica's mountainous, and they're talking about mudslides. I mean, it will be catastrophic.
And it's not like they're a developed nation already. A lot of poverty.
They have a lot of poverty. They have a tourism industry. Yeah, we all familiar with that. Everybody is familiar with the beautiful beaches of Jamaica. People vacation there and honeymoon there and everything like that. But they don't have a lot of industry.
Right.
Maybe some, I don't know.
Well, their homes are very simple and aren't going to stand up to a lot of this weather.
Right.
So
anyway, it was just
devastating.
I was going like, wow, if that's going to hit Jamaica, Category 5 that's a beat down for the United
for anybody.
States. For Florida, South Carolina, Louisiana, or anybody. But you're talking about putting that on a course that would hit a country as poor as Jamaica. That could that could be, it will be devastating. Are you looking at, and they're talking about Haiti and is it the Dominican? Isn't it the Dominican Republic attached to Haiti, right?
Well, yeah, that's same that's, island. That's so you have Jamaica. You then directly to the north is Cuba, which extends out.
Okay, the Guantanamo Bay. They sent all the Americans home.
Okay. And then just to the southeast of Cuba, almost directly east of Jamaica, is the Dominican Republic and
right.
Haiti.
And Haiti.
Yeah.
And Haiti. Haiti's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, I think. So, you know. Anyway, it's gonna that's going to happen today. And then that's a Category 5. That's the most intense hurricane they measure. So anyway, all right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's the next story, Fred?
Well, on a more cheerful note, Russia says it's testing nuclear powered missiles that will reach the shores of America. And to that, President Trump says, "Oh
Canadian
yeah,
sarcasm.
Oh yeah, we have submarines off your coast, Vladimir, and we can cause damage too." So that back and forth, President Trump asked about all of this on Air Force One in the last 24 hours. This is what he had to say. Cut six.
They're not playing games with us. We're not playing games with them either. We test missiles all the time, and I don't think it's an appropriate thing to Putin, for Putin to be saying either, by the way. You ought to get the war ended. A war that should have taken 1 week is now in its soon fourth year. That's what you ought to do instead of testing missiles.
President Trump, by the way, is traveling in Asia.
Yes.
He was in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And then
he danced in Malaysia.
He danced in, well, that sounds like a great movie. he danced in Jamaica. With I don't know, Tom Cruise. I don't know. Tom Cruise wouldn't do that, would he?
I hope not.
If it doesn't have some kind of Mission Impossible suspense to it, he wouldn't do dancing in Jamaica. In
well, you're
Malaysia.
Talking about Trump dancing with Tom
okay,
Cruise?
So seriously, Fred, you got this because President Trump was
he was in Malaysia.
Malaysia.
He was greeted at the airport
yes,
there by dancers.
Uh huh.
And he kind of joined in.
Yes.
You know, he did his little whatever Trump.
It's the Trump dance. And they were, did you see this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a stuffed shirt, Trump.
Right.
I mean, this is a guy who's spent his whole life schmoozing with, you know, rich and powerful people. He's not a old stuffed shirt, stick in the mud, whatever you want to say. So there's a dance going by. He's going to join in.
Yeah.
Well, this was they were dancing his dance he created on the campaign
yeah.
trail.
Yeah.
We've all seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
And let's admit it. We've all done it.
Yeah.
We've all done the Trump dance.
Little John Travolta.
Well,
little John Travolta. Ask him, all right?
Now, let's put it this way. It's a dance you would expect from a guy who's
79.
Yeah.
79. All right. So, but he's in Malaysia. He was in Malaysia. And now he's going to Japan.
He's in Japan now. And announcement this morning that apparently Japan, who has a new prime minister, by the way, first woman prime minister
really? Okay.
of Japan. And apparently in preliminary talks, and this is extremely unusual. We import a lot of cars from Japan.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't ship anything normally, automobile-wise, to Japan.
Okay.
But apparently the deal that's being worked out, Japan is going to buy a fleet of Ford F-150s. That the government is going to use for various things over there. So that's a big deal. And the other word that's coming out this morning, the Trump administration preliminary talks with China. Remember, we've had some rough waters in recent days with China, bantering back and
tariff,
forth.
Tariff, no tariff, tariff, no tariff, tariff, no tariff, tariff, no tariff.
That's
been
about
our China
it.
Policy.
Keep them guessing.
Yes. But apparently things are going well on that front. And I guess when Trump gets together with the Chinese leader Xi in just a few days, they're going to have a big announcement. Lindsey Graham, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, was talking about all this morning. Cut number five.
Well, I'm pretty optimistic. Scott Bessent, we could not have a better representative than Scott. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to have a better trading relationship with China. Trump is really the first president in my lifetime be honest with you, who stood up to China. They steal our intellectual property. They dump steel on the market below cost to drive us out of the steel business. So Trump is trying to level the playing field. He's got a lot of tariffs on Chinese products. But the goal is to come out with a trade deal where we'll have access to their markets, sell them soybeans. Half the soybeans in America are sold to China. But also to have a deal that we can live with where they do not cheat, to have a level playing field, and lower tariffs as much as possible in a win-win situation. And the only reason we're having this meeting and the only reason we're optimistic about better days ahead with China is because Trump stood up to China.
Thank you, Senator Lindsey Graham. Let me disagree. Okay. China's going to cheat. But to the credit of the Trump administration, they are working overtime to try to hold China's feet to the fire, and that's a good thing. They have been taking advantage of us for 25 years, and I'm glad President Trump is putting the squeeze on them. But I wouldn't, as I've said many times, I wouldn't trust China or Xi as far as I could throw them, because they have grown exponentially in their tech sector, for the most part by stealing knowledge from the U.S. or from companies that they have bought or from companies that they work with. And that's just the way they've made their move. And I guess all is fair in love and war, as they say, but I'm glad Trump has taken a hard line with China.
So President Trump is... He started in Malaysia, he's in Japan, and then he's going to China?
South Korea.
He's going to South Korea and then China?
No, he's not going to China. He's going to meet with Xi in South Korea is what I...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Xi being the leader of Communist China.
Correct.
What do they call that title?
Is he...
Chairman?
Yeah, he's chairman of the board?
He's like Frank Sinatra of China? Is that what he is?
Is he also called president? He's chairman of the Communist Party.
Yeah. She's how you pronounce his name.
Xi Jinping.
He's the big guy.
Yeah.
General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah, he just amazingly.
He's also president.
He's reelected time after time.
His
popularity is through the roof.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. And so. So we're going to sell Ford F-150s in Japan for the first time. Is that what you're saying?
To Japan. Apparently, that's the report.
That's what they're saying? Okay.
And this is why I applaud President Trump, because Japan has had this in place forever.
Had what in place?
Where we'll sell our cars and vehicles and trucks in your country. You can't sell yours, American-made, in our country. So that's how a lot of these imbalances have happened. And so tip of the hat to the Trump administration. He is getting...
What about Silverados? So they're going to let Chevy in too?
I don't know.
They vote. That's
a good question.
Those people vote.
Yeah.
Chevy owners.
Yeah.
You know, when they're not broke down on the side of the
road. But I didn't say that. That was Ed's little jab there.
Just a joke.
It's just a joke.
If they had been taking Silverados instead of Ford F-150s, I would have done the opposite.
Like
joke.
A rock.
Yeah.
Which one was that? Was that Chevrolet? Chevrolet Bob Seger, Forever and Ever. I just remember that growing up. You know his song, Like a Rock?
Yeah.
They use that for the advertisement. So Bob Seger probably made a mint off that one.
That was their motto in that song. That little clip of the song.
Yeah, forever.
For a long time.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'll tell you what, the president, the world traveler there, of course, that's what presidents do, but he went to Israel and back, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And now going to, he does have, he doesn't rough it.
No.
Okay. He's not going on standby.
Nope.
By the way, he has indicated that he is open to meeting with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un.
Rocket Man?
In South Korea, if he wants.
That's what Trump
Rocket Man, yeah.
Rocket Man.
So
he is going
to
be.
He said he's open to it.
Oh, okay. He likes that little fella. Have you noticed that? Trump does.
He likes that little fella. He likes that little fella.
He calls him Rocket Man.
Sounds like his wife's dog. Yeah. I like that little fella.
Well, all right. So Trump said he's open to meeting with an impromptu meeting with the dictator of North Korea.
Yeah.
So that may or may not happen. Then he meets with Xi, the communist Chinese leader in Seoul, South Korea. And then what, homeward bound?
Then homeward bound after that to deal with some domestic problems.
Okay, which leads us to another story. Fred, what's the next story?
You know, the shutdown heads in this week. It'll be a month.
Yeah.
Yep.
A month. That's
federal government shutdown.
It's not the longest, but we're getting close.
35 days, I think, is the longest one. Anyway, Fox this morning, Fox News had this story on the big news this morning with regards to the shutdown is that the food stamp program, which millions of Americans depend upon, well, it's the money's running out. Cut number 8.
The pressures will continue to mount on Congress. Consider for a moment just food stamps. The USDA, which administers federal SNAP benefits for more than 40 million people, posted this warning on its website. Bottom line, the well has run dry at this time. There will be no benefits issued November 1st. They, Democrats, can continue to hold out for health care for illegal aliens and gender mutilation procedures, or reopen the government so mothers, babies, and the most vulnerable among us can receive critical nutrition assistance. Now, some Democrats over the weekend were pressed on that point.
Is this a trade-off you're willing to make and continue to make, letting some Americans go hungry?
Well, let's be clear. We're shut down right now because Republicans are refusing to even talk to Democrats about a bipartisan budget bill.
The Republican position, Mike Johnson's position, is that we simply have to vote for Donald Trump's budget and for what Donald Trump wants, and that's it.
And Democrats are holding out for the extension of COVID-era price supports for Obamacare.
Yeah, and a lot, you know, the speculations be it. Who are you going to blame? Who are Americans going to blame?
Who are you going to call?
Yeah, who are you going to call?
And I looked up because I can never remember what this kind of acronym stands for, SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Formerly known as food stamps.
Yes.
But he got a rebranding.
Yep. And so now I've been seeing, you know, people's videos that they post on social media. And for some people, and man, they look like they're, you know, physically capable of getting a job, but they're complaining about the fact that they're $700 or $800 a month that they get for food through SNAP is going to come to an end. I don't know why there aren't more or better work requirements for SNAP, especially if you're able-bodied.
Is that the same as an EBT card?
Well, I think they get their benefits through an EBT card. It's like a debit card, which you can swipe.
Yeah.
But these folks are completely reliant on SNAP.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do for food. Some people have to rely on that. They've got no choice. But you don't want to be in a situation where you have to depend on the government to get you your money, or your family doesn't eat.
Well, okay, so the bottom line here on this federal government shutdown is we're reaching a point where it's going to start affecting millions more Americans if it continues on for a few more days. Is that true?
Yep, that is true. And we got to go to a break here, I know. But when we come back after the break, there is another front in this government shutdown that is probably going to explode in the next few days, and that involves air traffic controllers.
Yeah. I try to keep up with the reasons why. I hear the Republic. What's the primary reason Democrats are saying no to voting on this?
They're trying to use the shutdown as a wedge to continue the Biden COVID subsidies for Obamacare. Okay. That's the big one.
Which was put in place for COVID emergency.
Yes. And
and for illegal immigrants.
That's right.
For health care for illegal immigrants?
Yes.
They can cut.
That's their hill to die on?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this show. Thank you for listening to AFR. By the way, any day now, I got to check and see, we're going to be going on the air with our new radio station in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yes.
We were pumped about that. Is that today or tomorrow? I think we'll be flipping the switch. We bought a radio station in Des Moines. We've already got really good coverage for AFR all over Iowa, but we're not in the capital city.
Yeah.
And so this will give us access to a lot of new listeners, hopefully and potentially, there in the Des Moines area.
So when we find out when it goes on the air... We'll call on our Iowa listeners.
To let their family and friends know who live in Des Moines.
Yeah, absolutely. Let them know. Send them a link.
By the way, we live in a state where college football is pretty big. 89.3 in Des Moines. Okay, and we'll mention that. And it is big. College football is, I think, the second most watched sport now in the country, I believe, I'm sure.
Right behind most hockey. Popular.
No, NFL, I think. But, yeah, hockey's on its way up.
It's on its way.
So, I say this because some of us live in states where we have rival schools.
Yeah.
And
in-state rivalries is huge in college football.
Yeah. Now, if you're some of you live in states where it's just one dominant school, and your rivals live outside of your state. Mm. Which is a good thing for the most part, I think, for people, for human existence.
Yes.
For example, Ohio State.
Right.
Everybody's a Buckeye in Ohio, right?
Yeah.
In Michigan, well, they're divided, Michigan State. But so you got schools like that, LSU.
So Ohio State's rivals Michigan.
They live outside of the state for the most part.
Yeah.
They don't have to go to work together for the most part. So we do here in Mississippi because we have Mississippi State and Ole Miss.
Right.
So I'm leading devotion this morning for our staff, as I do each Monday, and I'm a Mississippi State fan, and of course we lost again in overtime again.
In frankly stunning fashion.
Yes, and rip your heart out and stomp on it fashion.
Unless you're a Mississippi State fan, and then it's like, oh, this happened again?
Right. Texas beat us.
Yeah.
With all their five stars. They beat our three stars, and it happened in overtime, but... I'm just leading devotion this morning, and one of our staff members, who is an Ole Miss fan, and they beat Oklahoma in Norman on Saturday, and we all know this happened. but he decided to bring up unsolicited an attack on the on the feelings of Mississippi State fans, knowing that we lost again in overtime.
Well, you were asking for prayer requests.
But yeah, and then he offered that up. But do you think it was appropriate for an Ole Miss fan who beat Oklahoma to
We're not going to mention names, but Drew Shoemaker should have known better.
Don't mention his name.
Oh, I'm not going to mention his name. Drew, absolutely not.
Because Drew doesn't need to. He doesn't need that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So he said ask for prayer requests.
I asked for prayer requests.
He said I think we need to pray for Mississippi State fans.
Yes, he did.
After their terrible loss.
Yes, he had to
loss.
Bring it up. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was inappropriate.
And I don't know. I don't know if I can say this for sure, but it seemed insincere to me.
Did you notice that too?
I'm saying it seemed a little bit insincere.
To which I responded that we Mississippi State fans, we're really happy for you, Ole Miss people. We really are. We're glad you won. And also let it be known that Mississippi State fans, having lost three games in the last few seconds in the last month, are on suicide watch.
It's been a rough month. Now, I will say this. As an outsider, I'm a
Notre Dame fan.
So I try to and I do, honestly, and I mean this with all sincerity, yes. I root for Mississippi State and Ole Miss. I want to see.
You're a neutral party. You just live in the state. You want everybody here to be happy on Monday.
Absolutely.
Don't you? Yes,
absolutely.
That's a good attitude, Ed.
So, but one thing I have noticed, I've been married to my Mississippi wife for 44 years.
Right.
I've lived in Mississippi since 1985, so 40 years. One thing I've noticed is that the team of these two, Mississippi State and Ole Miss, that is doing well, better watch out when the rivalry game comes. They call it the Egg Bowl.
Right.
Because I have seen this happen so many times, where the big dog gets knocked off by the little dog, the underdog, and spoils their season.
It's karma.
So Mississippi State has an awesome season if they do that.
Knock off Ole Miss.
They knock off Ole Miss. Doesn't matter what's happened the rest of the
year. Ole Miss is ranked number 5 or 6 now.
Having a great season.
In America. All right, you're listening. By the way, speaking of Ole Miss, Vice President J.D. Vance is it tomorrow night?
Wednesday,
we'll be on campus at the University of Mississippi.
That is correct.
And with Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica.
Erica.
That is correct.
This was planned for Charlie Kirk's tour prior to, it's been in the works for a long time. Obviously, Charlie Kirk tragically was assassinated, as we all know. And but the event is going to go on, and they're going to have this at the Pavilion, which is the basketball arena at Ole Miss, so they're expecting 10,000 people, and it's been quote sold out, even though they're not selling tickets. But it's been for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to be covering the event, right?
We are, and stay tuned. On Thursday, we'll be giving you. If you're not able to make it to the event, we'll have lots of coverage for it on Thursday for you. But
we have press credentials.
We have press credentials.
Yeah.
Three of our reporters are going. And we're excited about that.
Are you, Tim? Are you going to get a chance to go?
No, I'm going to try to. What do you call it when you try to get around the general public? What do you call that?
I'm not sure. No, I thought you were referring to scalping.
At work, you call it pulling rank. Anyway, I'm going to try to see if I can know a friend or two that can get me in the back door.
Yeah.
Will you self-identify as an Ole Miss grad?
Well, if it means getting in, I probably would.
Well, because this is one of those deals where just about anybody can get a ticket, but then you got to stand in line to get
in. That's what I'm saying.
And then once
I don't really want to do that.
Once it's filled
with the little people, I want to go in the back door and smooth.
And be up in a box somewhere.
Be up in a box somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you should have some pull.
That's what I'm saying.
Check with Drew.
Frank Turek, he knows. I don't know. I'm just teasing. I would like to go, but I don't know if it's going to be. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it or not. Yeah. Ole Miss is only an hour from where we are here, so I'd love to go, but I don't know. But I was just kind of stunned that it sold out to the general public so quick. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but it went boom. It went like fast.
And I'm just going to tell you, I've been through Oxford, where Ole Miss is, on game day. It is not fun trying to drive around there or find a parking spot
right
on the Ole Miss campus.
Right. Well, this will be won't be like a football Saturday, but it'll still be 10,000 plus people probably trying to get into the arena to hear the Vice President of the United States and Erica Kirk.
It is an inside arena. So I might
have given the impression. That's what basketball arenas typically are. I don't know if you've noticed.
What I was trying to say, well played. I deserve that one. I was not very exact. I didn't want to give the impression that it was going to be in the outdoor stadium.
Right. No, it's not the football stadium. Yeah. That's why I said basketball.
Yeah. All right. I think we should just leave it. Because otherwise, I'm gonna root for Ole Miss.
You're gonna give it back to me, aren't you, Ed? All right. You're listening to Today's Issues, Tim, Ed, and Fred. Fred, what's your next story?
Well, as we mentioned just before the break, as part of the shutdown, if you're traveling by air, best to check with your airlines because the air traffic controllers in the midst of the shutdown are not getting paid. In other words, when they show up for work, they're doing it on a volunteer basis.
How does that work? Do you even know how that works? I've never heard of that before.
Well, in the past, when there have been shutdowns, they get paid afterwards. When the government opens up again, they get paid for showing up.
You mean their back pay?
Back pay, yes.
Yeah.
Now, but we're getting into, as I mentioned, almost a month now. And these guys, they don't have a paycheck. Some of them are going out and trying to find work somewhere. But Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says, this is getting serious, and more travelers are going to be affected if this drags on. Cut number 7.
I've been out talking to our air traffic controllers, and you can see the stress. These are people that oftentimes live paycheck to paycheck. And so what I see coming forward as we get to Monday, tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that you're going to see more staffing shortages in towers, which means you're going to see more delays, more cancellations. And then you see more Americans frustrated at Democrats, and they'll say, open up the government. Enough is enough.
And the report early this morning that already today, Monday, there have been about 300 flight cancellations or delays. And so as Duffy is saying, this is only going to get worse. And politicians, you're going to hear more and more complaints.
Do you think the public is blaming one party or the other? Or I haven't seen any surveys on that or any polls on that.
Saw one poll where the blame is going more towards the Democrats. The reason seems to be is that they understand Republicans are voting to reopen the government. They are the ones voting to reopen.
Okay.
The Democrats are not supporting the ongoing resolution to open up the government.
Because they're holding out on the Obamacare subsidies.
That is correct.
And also on health care for illegal aliens.
That is correct.
Right.
That is correct.
So that's what this is about. But we are on a month now, right?
This week, I think.
Yeah, anyway, I'm not flying anytime soon. I got one or two, I think, coming up before the end of the year. But that doesn't comfort me any. If I'm getting ready to fly, knowing that the air traffic controllers are tired and weary and.
Well, I think now, Fred, correct me if I'm wrong, that this is the reason for the flight cancellations is that
safety protocols are in place.
They're not allowed to do their jobs. I think it's heavily unionized, so past their whatever hour shift, maybe 10 hours or whatever, they're not allowed to.
Are they FAA employees?
Yes. That's my understanding.
So you remember,
but they do have a union, though, right?
Yes.
Well, you remember when they went on strike when President Reagan, for those who are old enough to remember, the air traffic controllers went on strike, and President Reagan, it was during Reagan's administration, he fired them all. Remember that?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
He fired them all because he said, you're not allowed. There are certain public unions that are not allowed to go on strike. If I remember correctly, and so President Reagan just fired them all.
Yes, and air traffic controllers are one of those that aren't allowed to go on strike.
They tried it and it backfired.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
excuse me. I've seen a couple of polls and was just looking one up, the Quinnipiac poll. It seems like more people are blaming Republicans for the shutdown.
Yeah.
I think because the Democrats' message is getting a lot of lift through the mainstream media. Their message is that Republicans want to shut down the government because they don't want health care, Obamacare, to be available with the subsidies. The Republican message is that no, Democrats want Obamacare available for illegal immigrants. And I think the Democrats' message is probably getting through a little bit more.
Yeah.
But if the SNAP benefits go out, if they're no longer flowing to people who depend on what we used to call food stamps, I don't know that the pressure might not then ramp up on Democrats simply because a lot of these benefits flow into blue cities.
Yeah.
And if they're not getting their food
through,
you know, can't get that charged up EBT card, electronic benefits transfers, what EBT stands for, they may pressure Democrats. So I'm not sure how this plays out. The Democrats seem content to let it play out all the way, and we'll see who blinks first.
Speaking of this federal government shutdown, I was watching a story about Yosemite National Park. And I think this is the same as national parks across the country. They're open, but the employees who govern the park are not, like park rangers and stuff, aren't there to police it. And yet people are being allowed to go into the national parks. They were saying in Yosemite it's dangerous. They said people are base jumping when they shouldn't be. They're climbing up. It's basically, what do you call it when you rock climb up cliffs and stuff? They're doing this kind of thing. They're camping when they where they shouldn't be. In other words, it's a wild, wild west.
I didn't know you could get in these parks.
National parks. Well, you would think if the federal government shuts down, which affects the National Park Service, that the parks would be closed to the public as long as the park rangers aren't there. I'm all for freedom, but it should be closed. They should be closed down,
right?
If they don't have the park rangers and the personnel there to police the park. I mean,
I would have thought the gates would be shut and locked. So
type
you
in national parks and federal government shutdown to see what comes up, because I was stunned by that. But they show these people out in Yosemite, out in California, just base jumping off this big famous rock. What's that called? You know, it's famous.
El Capitan?
Yeah, I think so. It's
all right, so this is my search says most U.S. national parks are partially open during the government shutdown with access to outdoor areas such as roads, trails, lookouts, and open-air memorials generally maintained. However, visitor services are significantly limited or unavailable. Visitor centers, indoor facilities, museums, and some restrooms are closed across many parks.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So basically what they're saying is the buildings are closed. Like I said, the museums or whatever are closed, but just to be able to drive through or picnic and that kind of thing, those are open.
This also says no fees are being collected at some locations, and permits for backcountry camping and other services are not being issued. But that doesn't mean people aren't going in.
Wonder if that's true of the Grand Canyon too. You know what I'm saying?
This says nearly 2/3 of National Park Service employees have been furloughed, so there is a third around. So it says only essential personnel remain to address health, safety, and resource protection concerns.
Can you imagine, though, if you got a family trip planned right now to D.C.?
I know.
You got to be worried about are the flights going to operate to get there. And then when you get to D.C., the museums are all shut down.
Yeah, the Smithsonian.
Yes.
The Bible Museum would be open, and And the outside parks like Lincoln and Jefferson Memorial, those things would be open. But you're right. The Smithsonian Museums would be closed.
I have a friend going up to Dayton, Ohio. They were going to go to the Air Force Museum. Been told it's been shut down.
Well, it should. I would have thought this would have been resolved by now and the federal government would be reopened. I'm gonna say this week. I'm going to guess by Friday it'll be reopened. They'll work something out because it just the old word unsustainable. I just don't think with the air traffic control situation SNAP
benefits.
Program benefits stopping, the outcry is going to get
and the pressure probably will build on both sides. But I don't know. I think Democrats have more time on their side. I do.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if President Trump is in charge of the Republican Party, he doesn't seem to give a rip.
Yeah.
And he's untouched, unfazed. I'm talking about by the Democrats' threats on this. So now he may hear from his constituency, being the Republican House of Representative members, that we've got a compromise here somewhere because it's going to start hurting us. And he may listen to them.
Right.
I'm not saying President Trump is not sympathetic to the feelings of Americans. I don't want to suggest that. I'm just saying that when it comes to fighting against the Democrats, he's not moved by their arguments.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, you know, the Democrat Party has more than their fair share of what I would call wackadoodles. Okay. Now, every once in a while, you'll get a Republican wackadoodle. This is from my perspective as a conservative.
Your opinion only.
I understand that a liberal may differ from where I see things, but I just think if you were to have a wackadoodle convention, you would have a vast majority of them politically would be Democrats. That's my take on things.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you might say, well, Tim, give us an example of what you're talking about. And I will go now to our news desk, and Fred Jackson, our news director, will bring forth a story, which proves wackadoodleism is alive and well.
Yes,
Fred,
we're going to hear from some.
Okay,
the type of people of whom you speak.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Because a week from tomorrow is Election Day.
All right.
And there's governor's race in New Jersey and Virginia. But I guess the one getting most of the attention is the mayoralty race in New York City.
New York City?
New York City.
I said that one. You said that one.
Very good. Very good. Fred, yeah. Canadian, do that southern accent.
I've been here 28 years now. I've got this down. Anyway, Zoran Mamdani.
Zoran Mamdani.
The communist who was way out
to
the front in the polls. He had a rally last night, and he had some guests.
All right.
Amongst them was AOC, better known as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Bernie Sanders. Let's have a listen to what they had to say. Cut 10.
Corrupt politicians and the billionaires that fund them. Let our words ring out so loud tonight that Andrew Cuomo can hear them in his $8,000 a month apartment. Let them ring so loud so that he can hear us even if he's in Westchester this evening. Let them ring so loud that his puppet master in the White House hears us. New York is not for sale.
And we will send a loud message to President Donald Trump that his authoritarianism is no good here.
This election is taking place when we have a corrupt campaign finance system which allows billionaires in both political parties to select the candidates they want and to buy elections.
Who was the first fella?
That was Mamdani.
That was Mamdani.
Oh, wow. He's really going after Cuomo.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There.
But I don't think, honestly, if you believe the polls, he doesn't have much to worry. It looks like a cakewalk right now.
That Republican, the fellow that wears the beret, what's his name?
Curtis Sliva.
he's been around like since the '30s, right? What's his name?
Curtis Slava.
Guardian Angels or something like that?
I think he started the Guardian Angels maybe back in the '60s or
what was the purpose of the Guardian Angels?
It was to protect. This is how things go in cycles. All right, Democrats in the '60s and '70s on into the '80s became known as the party whose policies protect criminals but not victims. So crime got so bad in New York City that the Guardian Angels were a private group. They became known for wearing their little uniforms with the berets. They would try to help people who were caught up in, you know, burglaries or robberies or assaults. They would be there to try to help people. And
not as law enforcement,
just citizens. They were volunteers.
Okay.
And so that was the origin. I don't know if Curtis, I think it's Sliva, but it's spelled S-L-I-W-A, but I think it's pronounced with a V. But I'm not sure he started it, but he was at least the most well-known early on.
So he's the Republican candidate for mayor, and him staying in, a lot of people, Republicans and Democrats who don't support Mondami are upset because he's staying in and he's going to take votes away from Cuomo. And if Cuomo doesn't have those votes, he can't beat Mondami. Isn't that the thinking here?
That's the math.
And who knows if he would otherwise, but that's the thing. People are upset because this Silva won't get out of the race.
He was the founder of the Guardian Angels in New York City in February of 1979.
Yeah. I was talking about Eric Swalwell, too. He is the Democrat congressman from
California,
mm-hmm. where there are a lot of wackadoodles. do we have, why don't we have 10 seconds? No, we don't have any time. See, there the music's here. So do we have his comments we can use after the break? It's the ones about wrecking the ballroom.
I don't think so.
And I'm not talking about a heavy metal song. I'm talking about, okay, well, I'll either quote or we'll get the audio from that. When we get back from the break.
I see some people say the pronunciation is Sliwa. I saw Sliwa.
You're talking about the Guardian Angels guy?
Yeah. So I don't know. Sliwa or Sliva. I've seen him both ways.
He's a beret. Where's the beret?
He is.
You think I need to switch to a beret, maybe?
Hey, berets can be pretty fashionable looking.
Okay. We'll be back.
What you got going on is looks good.
We'll be back momentarily with Steve. Page Lee Jordahl coming up in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.